This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The Property Show, presented by boomboom.com for millennials.
Hello, you're listening to The Property Show on The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mukhtar. Can you imagine being able to build and design your own home via an app on your mobile device? This is the future of the housing sector envisioned by Sarah Murray, the CEO of Place Technologies. She shared her vision to democratize the housing sector in a 2017 TED Talk that generated enormous interest. I had a chance to speak with her on the sidelines of the Affordable Housing Across Asia conference recently, organized by Chagamas Berhad and the World Bank. Welcome, Sarah, to the show. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
As our starting point, let's begin with your TED Talk in December 2017. Back then, you painted a very vivid picture of what the future of housing construction and design could look like. And one of the things that you said that you're looking to do is to democratize the design and construction of building one's own home. So in your view, what's undemocratic about the home building process today?
Well, I certainly felt as a consumer myself, to give you a little bit of context, I think I'm a lifelong corporate innovator. I've been doing it for 15 years. I've helped really large organizations in Australia and globally solve some of their most challenging problems. And there was no bigger problem for me than the fact that I was in Australia and I couldn't afford a home. And this for me just felt wrong. You know, and so I looked at the system and I'm like, why isn't this working? And I realized that as a consumer, I really was quite disempowered. And only once my income or my bank balance hit a certain level did I have a right to play. And I thought there are plenty of models out there that enable people or democratize services to provide access to a wider range of a wider cross-section of the community. And I said, why can't we do that with housing construction?
So how does your outfit, Place Technologies, seek to bring back democracy to the people when it comes to choosing their own houses?
Yeah, so it's a very long game vision, right? So I will I'll put that out there. But the one thing that has been keeping me going through the few years, and anyone who has been involved in early stage startup work knows it's a real grind. But like the one thing that has been keeping me going is the number of people who've come out and said, oh, I really believe in this. And it's people from civil engineers through to software engineers, through to consumers. After the TED Talk, there was demand there. And so to go back to your question, I had to go through all of that correspondence to understand the root cause a little bit better. I understood my problem. I understood my cultural context, but I didn't understand the global problem and I didn't understand the nuances of individuals' cultural contexts. What that led me to is the concept of a very simple marketplace enabled by emerging technologies, gamification, artificial intelligence, blockchain, virtual reality. All of these technologies are converging right now and allowing us to put control back in consumers' hands in a way that we never have before. So imagine you can go onto your smartphone, you can design your home while you're on the bus, it's priced down to the item level, you can check out with your shopping cart. If you don't have the currency, you can crowdsource funding. It then goes into a factory. The data from the application forms the shop specifications in the factory. So you have high quality, low risk. You get a alert every step of the way through the construction process. For me, it's the future.
It sounds so much like that game, The Sims, where you essentially get to, choose their house and build it and see it virtually. But what you're doing is bringing this to life, essentially.
Yeah, it's The Sims for real. Yeah. And it was never intended to be The Sims for real. That wasn't the proposition. It wasn't what I thought about initially. But there is a trend in gamification. And gamification as a term has been around for a very long time. But what we're actually starting to see now are individuals who have come through, grown up playing games, and That's how they expect to live their adult lives. That's how they expect to experience the world.
Do you think that's a good thing?
I think it's a great thing. Allies, quests, all of these things actually, and there's a whole raft of neuroscience behind this and the science of the study of games, but all of these things serve to make us more empathetic, more caring, more collaborative. But what's actually happening there is a really fundamental thing when it comes to being human being, and that is we're solving complex problems together. And I can't think of a more complex problem to solve than the 35 million homes that we need to build every year as a species.
You paint such an interesting picture, Sarah, about everyone collaborating together in this kind of game structure to solve the problem of housing shortages. Could you maybe elaborate a little bit on how you bring together all the different players involved in creating a house in this game-like interface?
The game essentially acts as a blueprint. So you recall your question about how are we democratizing it? The game is the front door. The game is the democratization tool. But what you actually do when you play the game and you create a 3D model is you are creating the specifications for a factory. And that factory is kitted up to create volumetric modular units or any other variety of different industrialized manufacturing modality. We're not prescriptive about how you should build, because different geographies, different jurisdictions, different personal preferences demand different things. At scale, I would love to be the marketplace that gives people choice. You design your home and then you get to choose between different types of construction method depending on what matters to you as an individual. Maybe environmental sustainability is really important to you. Maybe this sensation of solid concrete is really important to you. And you can make those cost-benefit trade-offs in the game environment. You can see that if you spend a little bit more money on this particular bamboo flooring, actually it's worth it because we've used blockchain provenance and we can tell you exactly where that bamboo came from, and you as a consumer have confidence that you're making a sustainable choice.
So when you say marketplace, I kind of see that what you provide is that platform, and you bring together all the different players, the builders, the manufacturers of these different elements in a house, in one kind of game interface. Is that accurate?
Yeah, essentially. So every single thing that you add is a real item with a real price and a real origin and a real way of being shipped and delivered to you. We have partner factories. So we have I've spent a lot of time doing, in fact, that's been most of my time, if I'm honest with you, from the time of the TED Talk to today. A lot of my role has been in supply chain research and procurement. It's very important to me that once we scale this platform, if we make a recommendation, or if you want to choose a particular solution, that we've seen that factory, we know how it works. They're proven, they're reliable, they've done it before. All of that sort of quality is incredibly important to us. So,
I think the gamification aspect of it is really fun. But do you think that in doing so, it kind of belittles the knowledge and skill that's actually required to construct homes? Does it make it too easy when in actual fact, you know, construction is something that's sort of been developed over hundreds of years in terms of techniques and in terms of design? Does this kind of gloss over all that?
I think it allows more people to engage in all that. Because until I started on this journey, I didn't know anything about the construction industry. I didn't know about its rich history. I didn't know about the innovations within it. Why would I? I was a consumer and I'm at arm's length from that process. So I feel like if anything, this is a way for a wider cross-section of the community to engage in it. And it's important as well to consider that there hasn't been a lot of innovative change in construction methodology in the last 50 years. This industry is ready for some disruption. It's ready for change. And that will not displace anyone or belittle anything. We need to construct, as a species, 35 million homes a year. That equals $16 trillion worth of investment for both land and construction. If all of the governments combined, they could probably contribute 20% of that. That's $1 to $3 trillion. If you are a builder today and you're worried about anything I'm saying, don't be. You have a job for forever.
When you say disrupting the property sector, it's not about displacing one method of building a home for another, but it's sort of introducing more methods into the mix so that there are more options and so that more people can get involved in a way.
That's right. Hence democratizing.
We'll have more on the property show after these messages. Stay with us. BFM 89.9.
The Property Show, presented by Boomboom.co for millennials.
If you've just joined us, this is The Property Show on The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mokhtar. Today, I'm discussing the future of property and construction with Sarah Murray, the CEO of Place Technologies, a digital housing developer. So there's been a lot of excitement about the potential of 3D printing to disrupt traditional construction over the past 5 years or so. Where are we when it comes to implementing this technology in home building?
Oh, it's so sexy. It's the sexiest thing ever. My dream was the game interface connected with 3D printing. That was my original vision. That was my original pitch. When I applied to do the TED talk, even that's what I was talking about. And then as I researched it more and more and I went on a global study tour and I saw factories who were creating this, I met academics who were working with 3D printed concrete in completely controlled environments. I saw some spectacular failed disasters of 3D printed construction. And it is so thrilling. It's so promising, but it's just not there yet. But that doesn't mean it won't be there. And it will 100% have a place. So some of the really exciting examples that I've seen are in Dubai, at the foot of the Emirates Twin Towers. They have what they call their Office of the Future. It's stunningly beautiful. It's everything that construction 3D printing promises. It's non-rectilinear construction. It's not boxes. Curves usually in traditional construction are expensive or not as easy to achieve as a rectilinear geometry, which is why you tend to see more rectangles. We live in rectangles.
What are the drawbacks of 3D printing that are preventing more stakeholders from coming on board?
The reason I am hesitant, if you are thinking about 3D printing for the affordable housing sector, there are some challenges you have to think about. Mm-hmm. One is these things are printed with usually large gantry machinery. Some machine either on an arm cantilevered over the workspace or a large gantry that is literally straddling the build envelope needs to get to where you're going to build it. So this means you need really good road infrastructure. You need power, reliable power. You need water. You need a technician who can troubleshoot if something goes wrong. So you need a lot of experts and you need a lot of, while the cost of the machinery is coming down, you need a lot of expensive machinery. So then if you don't build it in a day, then, you know, who's insuring that? Who's protecting that overnight? You know, so you can already start to see some of the challenges that might be inherent in trying to service, say, sub-Saharan Africa with a technology like this. The other practical considerations are a phenomenon called interlayer adhesion. The analogy I like best is if you've ever piped a cake. So, you know, you put your filling into the piping bag and that's essentially the nozzle and the concrete, right? And it goes around and it does layer after layer after layer on top of each other. But once you've done one layer, that layer dries just a little before you get a chance to do the second because it's working in loops.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means for concrete is slight imperfections in between every layer. And what concrete hates the most is water. And in that building I mentioned in Dubai, you can see the interlayer adhesion issues that they experienced, where mold and water can get in between those layers and weaken the integrity of the structure over time.
Like you said, coming back to your TED Talk 2 years ago, I think 3D printing was one of those things that you really spotlighted in that talk. So 2 years on, it's safe to say that you still believe in it, but it's not quite there yet for the masses.
Oh, yeah, not yet. But when it is, yeah, sign me up. Yeah.
Okay. So coming back to what you said about sustainable housing, and in your TED Talk, you had mentioned that Place Technologies wants to fund an affordable home for every certain number of homes that you produce. Where are you on that front?
So what we've got to do is make sure we can get the right number of dedicated players and the right scale. So the economics stacks up. So if you have a dedicated factory, we can deliver 10 to 1. What I alluded to in my TED Talk, which is what I would really love to do, is 1-to-1. And in fact, at the Affordable Housing Summit, and I think someone so boldly posited, can we get a unit of manufactured housing down to $1,000 per unit? So I think I have a new challenge. The reality is that's what we've got to do.
Could we talk a little bit about the business of Place Technologies in terms of, I suppose, the projects that are being done at the moment? How many houses has Place built?
Yeah, so as Place, end-to-end with the game, we're still in pilot. But as I said, we have multiple construction partners. So they've been in the industry operating for 50 years. So we have really proven partners. The software engineering and the supply chain side of our business is taking longer than I anticipated to sort out. One other interesting phenomenon is where does it make the most sense to manufacture? And that the answer to that is different places for different markets. So, for instance, if you are in the United States, it actually makes sense to manufacture in the United States. So Place Technologies has a partnership with an industrial manufacturing company in Minneapolis where we'll look at supporting their factory with Place Technology integrated into their workflow to service the US market and potentially Canada. But then if you think about at the Asia Pacific region, potentially it was China, but now as the cost of labor and in China is increasing and their community is moving more from a manufacturing economy to a service-based economy, you're starting to see some really exciting emerging new players in that manufacturing space. And I think that we'll see a lot from, say, places like Africa with the work that the Ghanaian government are doing, opening up special economic zones. It reminds me a lot of Shenzhen in China 30 years ago. We're starting to see that same pattern.
Mm-hmm. So in the little bit of time that we have, Sarah, could you tell us what you expect Place to do maybe in the next 5 to 10 years? I guess what's the dream?
What's the dream? The dream is for a Place to live up to its ambition of making sustainable housing available and affordable for all. To do that, we need to complete our technology pilot. We're fortunate off the back of the TED Talk to have a beta list of 10,000 players from all over the world. So we have some ready, eager and amazing testers. And if you're one of them, thank you so much. We couldn't do it without you. If you're interested, please sign up on the website, placetechnologies.com, and we will let you know when testing opportunities are available. In 5 years, we will have had the platform established for some time. It'll be an active platform with people actively trading actively buying, actively designing. Some of the business might be coming through to our partner factory. Some of it might not, and that's okay too. Like I said, we're not prescriptive. But what we will be able to do and what we will have achieved is democratize design and construction.
All right. We'll catch up with you again in 5 years, Sarah, and see how far place has gone.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you very much.
That was Sarah Murray, the CEO of Place Technologies. Sarah was a speaker at the Affordable Housing Across Asia Conference, organized by Chagamas Berhad and the World Bank. That's all the time that we have on The Property Show this week. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
The Property Show, presented by Boomboom.co for millennials. Real estate for real people.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.